Yes, it is Monday, March 20. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you. If you are just tuning in, the Aussies have pummeled India in the cricket overnight by 10 wickets. The Raiders, Loz's Raiders, Big Red, the star, two tries. They've beaten the Sharks 24-20 last night in the last game of round three in the NRL. And earlier in the afternoon at Belmore, a packed Belmore, is the Dogs 26, the Tigers 22. In the AFL yesterday, the Giants, they won their first game of the season by 16 points. Standalone captain now, Toby Green, he kicked four goals. Harry Himmelberg took a specky. Jacob Ware was flattened by Adelaide's Shane McAdam, but he came back on. The Swans beat the Suns by 49 points Saturday night. They kicked the first five goals of the game, although Lance Franklin, a weak suspension for a high bump on Sam Collins. The Queensland Reds led 24-3 early in the second half before being forced to hold on 27-24 against the Fijian Drua at Suncorp in Super Rugby yesterday. Morning, Buzz. Did you have the Broncos and the Dolphins top of the comp after round three? Did anybody?
No. Unbelievable, isn't it? Incredible story, those two clubs. And we've got the Broncos here to talk about. $21 into $8 to win the comp. And anyone who has watched them in this first 3 weeks of the competition would think that that's not unrealistic to suggest that they could even be there on grand final day, although there's such a long way to go, mate. But I'll tell you what I loved about the weekend, suburban ground, rugby league, traditional atmosphere in Sydney. That great crowd at Manly on a Thursday night, the packed hill at Brookie, and then just a wonderful day in the heat, despite the heat at Belmore yesterday. Isn't it great rugby league in at these venues? And you know what? I am struggling to recall a more exciting, enthralling start to an NRL season. There's been very few blowouts, if any, and there's so much to talk about, isn't there? Every Monday morning, every day of the week with rugby league.
Yeah, yes, it's certainly right, Buzz. I just want to go back with the Broncos because I had them out of my top eight and then I quickly put them in my top eight last week. I said, well, I can't leave this team out. And I'm starting to think, Buzz, when I look at this team and how much improvement they have in them, I think they are a genuine contender to win this year's comp, where I never thought that 3 weeks ago before the start of the year.
I not only had them out of my top eight, I had Kevin Walters grouped in with the Griffins and the other coaches, O'Brien in Newcastle, as being under pressure this year. Mm. And yet the reason he was probably under pressure because there was backlash from players and a couple of players and who made comments on podcasts about his coaching. And look, the thing I like about Kevy and the way he's assembled this outstanding football side is that he has delegated so much to his halfback Adam Reynolds to run this football team. And some of the stuff I've seen from Reynolds in recent weeks, as much as he was a superstar halfback at South, I think we've seen some up there with his career best football in recent weeks. He is just... And I was worried about him. I was worried about his ability to turn up every week with his old body that's been around for a long time and compete week in, week out at this level. But with the old fella leading at halfback, and Staggs and Farnsworth and Arthur and Mam and Reece Walsh. Then you got arguably two of the best middles in the comp, Payne Haas, Pat Carrigan. They're a serious, serious football side and they're definitely capable of doing what the Cowboys did last year and finishing, you know, in the Cronulla for the minor premiership.
What's your take on Parramatta, Buzz? Because they seem the opposite to the Broncos at the moment.
Yeah, Clarkie, I had another look at Parramatta, and their losses haven't been alarming.
Yeah.
They lost by four to Storm week one, then four to Sharks, another 4 points to Manly.
Yeah.
But you've got to be winning football games this time of the year to be get yourself in a position to make the top four, or you can't win the comp. The thing is with Parramatta, I think as this season goes on, we're going to be talking about the biggest recruitment blunder in quite some time, and that was allowing Reed Marnie to leave last season and join the Canterbury Bulldogs. I think if they'd found another 100K, they probably would have kept him, another 150K. In defence of Parramatta, you then think, look, they've got to struggle and they keep having to... Would they have lost Dylan Brown? Will they lose Mitchell Moses if they'd gone over the top for Reid? But I think he's shown, as at Canterbury, there's a really elite player. You know, I think pressure is building at Parramatta. And they've got this massive game against Penrith this weekend, and it's going to answer a lot of questions. I do, guys, want to defend Ryan Madison. He's come under enormous criticism for electing not to pay the fine last year and miss the first three games of the competition. Well, I'm pretty dirty about the circumstances of that. Parramatta were given 48 hours after the grand final to make a decision on what he was going to do. Now, like all grand final losing teams, they get on the drink for 2 or 3 days. And Ryan Madison didn't have a clear head when he said, bugger the NRL, I'm sick of paying fines, I'm going to take the... They can get stuffed, I'll miss the first three games. Now, when he, I'm not, can I say sobered up, or when he came clear on his senses, Parramatta immediately went to the NRL. This is late, this is last year, not long after the grand final, said, look, he wants to change his mind. They wouldn't let him. And I just think there were circumstances there where he wasn't in a clear position to make a decision. What do you think of that, guys?
I've said it all the way through, Buzz.
Yeah, Loz has said the same. Loz has tried to explain because, I, my brain, no matter what position I'm in, I think because the fine was, compared to three games, the fine was so minimal at $4,000, I don't think you're ever thinking anything else apart from paying the fine. But then Loz has explained it a little bit like you just did, Buzz. Situation, when he was asked, just lost the grand final, frustrated with whatever, then it obviously makes a lot more sense why he's just said, mate, whatever, three games, get on with it, and then wanted to change
3 days later, his decision, you come to your senses. Because
you can understand that.
And he did. There was no opportunity for him to really weigh it up.
I wonder why, Buzz, they didn't accept that as well, the NRL. Like, it wasn't like he waited 2 months to change his decision. I wonder why he didn't get that chance to make that change there and then.
Well, I think the NRL was probably reluctant to set a precedent and allow this to happen on a more regular basis. Mm. But, look, I think he had a pretty decent argument to change his decision. He hadn't had an opportunity to sit down with Jim Sarantinis, their chief executive, or Brad Arthur. And, look, he's been painted in a bad light, and on face value it is poor that he chose three games over, $4,500? But if he had his time again, and look, he's a very good football player. I don't think it's too late for Parramatta this season, but they've got to open their account this weekend against the Panthers. I think they're an outside chance of doing that, but look, it's going to be hard. They've got Penrith fresh. Penrith had the weekend off, you know. And it's a big, big weekend in Sydney's heat to have off. It's a really important round to get a bye because, you know, the players aren't going through what the other 16 clubs did.
I shouldn't laugh. What do you make of the Tigers?
Don't look this way while you laugh, mate.
No, well, I tried to defend them last week.
I know. You can't now. We're running out of excuses.
Buzz, I'm going to say you were right last week.
you're captain coach of defending Tim Sherwood.
I will continue to defend him. It's the players' fault.
Well, I've got news for you, Laurie. I just logged on to the TAB website and I called up NRL Futures and I looked at the Wooden Spoon / Most Losses market.
Their favourites.
And the West Tigers are now $2.80 favourites to win the Wooden Spoon.
Again.
Ahead of Newcastle at $3.50. Now, the West Tigers, they could have nearly banked they could have won against the Titans, the Knights, the Dogs. They had the dream start to the season. The only thing working against them was a new coaching staff, players getting used to that, and a lot of key new players. The reason they're at $2.80, if you look at their draw the next 5 weeks, they've got Storm, Broncos, Parramatta, Manly, Panthers. So if they can't knock off those first three teams, how on earth are they going to compete against those guys? If they can play like they did in that 10-minute patch towards the end yesterday, I guess that was where there was some promise. I think they might have found their halves combination in Brooks and Brandon Wakeham, the way they combined yesterday with Dewey at fullback, or Dewey could go to centres. I was encouraged that Clemmer made 180 metres in that heat. That was a, you know, that was a, he was just tireless yesterday. So there were some positives, but at the end of the day, you can't judge them on that 10 minutes. You judge them on 80 minutes. And until they came good at the end, they were woeful. They were really, really woeful. And we do have to question whether the Tim Sheens, Benji Marshall, Robbie Farah situation is working. I said on NRL 360 last week, there are situations where you can have too many chefs in the kitchen, that too many are trying to do the same job, and there's confusion amongst the players, there's mixed messages amongst the players. But again, let's, before we, I guess they deserve more time because there's so many new players there. Would you agree? I agree.
I just got frustrated yesterday, Buzz, because I saw that performance in the first 60 minutes and I'm going, wow. And then you see a 10-minute spurt, and I don't know why or how it happened, but they looked a different football team. And then I want to believe that that is what we're going to see moving forward from the Tigers. And if I trusted that, I think they'll win games. But how do you trust that they're going to play like that for a sustained period of time?
I'm worried they're going to get Storm on the rebound this week in Melbourne.
Well, mate, the Storm aren't going great. They were all
It'll be interesting if Munster comes back. I'm not sure if he will, but we'll get onto that one early in the week. They need him, don't they?
Oh, they do. I'll tell you the clash I'm looking forward to this weekend. Two superstars going up against each other.
Yeah, look, I've done my Monday column, Latrell Mitchell versus Tom Turbo. And this is dead set box office rugby league. They are two sensations. And you know what? It's been 5 years since July 2018 since these two played each other, because they both have injury problems along the way. And I think James Tedesco is probably the best fullback in rugby league on what he's done the last couple of years. But with these two, apart from being great, great fullbacks, they are great personalities. And they just click turnstiles. They get people. I like Steve Crawley's quote in the column, that even people with just a faint interest in rugby league will switch this game on just to watch these two champions. I love how Latrell talks about those two, the words he uses, how about those two playing centres for New South Wales this year, and how scared Queensland will get. I spoke to Gary Jack, the Balmain Tigers legendary fullback, and I said, Jimmy, if you had a salary cap, what would you do if you could sign Latrell or Turbo? Which one would you take? And I loved his response. He said, I'd cut other blokes and take them both. And it's just a sensational matchup. And you know what? They're two great role models. And it's funny, we talk about role models and people say, how can you call Latrell? He got in a stint with Jack White and he got charged, he got arrested. But what this fella has done for Indigenous kids and people across this country, what Latrell has done to stand up to racial abuse at Penrith recently, online trolls, and what Tommy Turbo does in local junior rugby league in Manly, goes back to his old club, Mona Vale Raiders, who run the water bottle, who talk to the kids, who do selfies all day. And it's just a clash that rugby league should celebrate. And I'm sure on Saturday night at Acol Stadium, we're going to see one hell of a battle.
Buzz, now, this is your chance, Loz. You beat Buzz's Sharks last night.
I wasn't going to mention it, but now that you've brought it up. Hey, Buzz, what happened to your mob, mate? You're only going one from three, is that right, Sharkies? One from three?
aren't we due to go to the 7:30 news?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Braden Trindle, I know Nicho Hynes is going to come back into that team, but I'll tell you what, he's a first grader every day of the week. They've got to keep him in the squad somewhere.
Yeah, you know how we had to look hard to find a positive at West Tigers. Well, it's the same situation with the Cronulla Sharks. I think they've been pretty disappointing yesterday. And but as you said, that 40-20 he kicked was nearly a 40-10. And it was one of the best I've ever seen. It was a fantastic kick. Look, the Sharks are struggling. And there's no question that, look, Braden Trindle will go back to the bench and play in the 14 jersey. Mm. And the great news for the club is that Nicho Hynes is back this week. And it can't happen soon enough for the Sharks. It's funny we bag these teams, but you do have to give credit to the opposition. And Canberra Raiders yesterday, they lost their hooker Danny Levi with a broken jaw very early on. Another serious injury I just hate seeing. They have lost their first two games of the season in the Heat in Queensland. They lost to the Titans on the Gold Coast and in Townsville to the Cowboys. They had another scorcher yesterday, 34 degrees, and Ricky Stewart found something at training to get them up again, and they played terrific. But as much as the Sharks were disappointing, and they've got to start winning. They've only got 1 from 3, and they were tied. A lot of us had up very high in the final, so interesting.
Thanks so much, Buzz.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Formula One overnight, well, this morning in Saudi Arabia, and it was won by Sergio Perez of Red Bull, beating Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso third. Issues for Aussie Oscar Piastri. He's ended up finishing 15th, his teammate Lando Norris in 17th. But unfortunately for Piastri, he had some contact on the opening lap and then had to pit. And so this was after qualifying within the top 10 as well. So some trials and tribulations in his first couple of races, the Aussie, but 21 years of age, and he showed in qualifying the potential for a massive future is there. Stewie Clark coming up shortly after the Aussies won by 10 wickets to level the one-day international series against India overnight with one game to play. Just a text here. Morning, boys. Laurie, you and the Big Sports Breakfast should buy a camel and enter it in the big race in Saudi Arabia. It's worth $31 million.
What?
I'll throw in and buy it with you. Just imagine the party afterwards from Duffy, your biggest supporter, sending that one through. Good on you, Duffy.
How much is a camel?
Well, I need some help from our listeners here. I've done Google very quickly.
Buy a camel?
Yeah.
Not really. I can't say I've got any expertise when it comes to camel buying.
Can you buy camels?
Purchase a camel in Australia?
Yeah, you can.
No, I want someone over there. Home ground advantage.
What, in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. So you got to buy it from there.
I reckon we need to buy one from there.
Can Chris Waller train it? If Waller can train it, I'm in.
I don't know. $31 million for a camel.
No,
a
not
race.
To...
Yeah, but a race worth $31 million.
It's worth a little.
Why
dabble,
wouldn't you be
it?
Involved in the camel racing industry? Why don't we buy a camel? Can you find out how much a camel is? But I want one bought from Saudi Arabia. I don't want one bought from
here. I'd feel a little more comfortable if we just stuck to the horse for now.
Here we go. I found something here. This is courtesy of MalaysianDigest.com.
You're good with this. You're good with finding something from nowhere.
And it says here in this article, an Emirati camel racing fan.
Here we go.
Spent £6.5 million on 3 camels in 2010.
What?
So they must be the absolute.
They get through the going.
£6.5 million.
They get through the going. Good
pound.
Yeah, 3 camels. So you know what are we?
$15 million. Australian.
Yeah.
Wow.
So divide that $5 million.
A camel.
$5 million.
Mate, I thought you were talking $3,000.
Mate, so did I. I didn't realise a camel was that expensive.
What's the camel?
Surely it can't be that.
No.
Well, if you're racing for $31 million.
Are you happy to, risk 5?
Well, no, I'm not paying that amount of money.
Well,
but
this is the best of the best, obviously.
Well, if you want to win $31 million, you want to buy the best of the best, obviously. Yeah, I thought we were just buying a camel which would cost a couple of $1,000.
I'm happy to spend 5 if you guarantee me 31. But I got a funny feeling there's no guarantee your $5 million investment is going to win 31. I'd rather buy the $3,000 one and have a crack that way.
Yeah, so would I. Do we buy it here in Australia?
Looks like we might have no choice.
We transport it over.
We might have to. Hunter Valley camel. Yeah. Where do they stock them? In the Hunter?
Look.
Barrel down south?
Well, we know in the outback there's stacks of them. Stacks of camels in the middle of Australia.
Well, you go searching.
But, you know, as for the actual racing camels that you take to win $31 million races in Saudi Arabia, I don't know. If anyone's got any idea how much racing camels cost or where we get them from,
just a dog,
please text
or a cat or just a horse, little pony for us, something little.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure camels us.
Do you get a camel with one hump or two humps? Or what type of camel are we going
for? I want a double hump for my $5 million. Surely. Yeah. I want about a double.
What are we after?
If we don't know.
If we're going to go in this race and win $31 million,
I need Waller to train it.
I want to have more information.
Oh, dear.
Zero.
Colour?
That's all.
Is there a colour of a camel? Like, is there one colour only?
I don't know. Okay. I don't have the answers.
I'd say there'd be only one colour, wouldn't there? I don't know.
Okay. I'd like to know.
The camels.
I reckon the black camel might be faster than the brown camel.
0419 767 272.
Actually, you know what? You probably get all different coloured camels.
Mm.
You don't. You're not looking at us.
We've got some research.
We lost transmission. I reckon we've got
some research to do before we're investing our $5 million.
Yeah, Duffy, we'll have to get back to your brother.
Well, here we go. Another day says, before you buy a camel over there, you better do some local research. A lot of camel races here in Australia. Forbes have a big meeting in March.
Now we're talking. Let's start home ground before we worry about travelling overseas, I think.
Right.
Let's get an Aussie camel.
Yeah.
Let's try and win a race here.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the $31 million experiment.
I can't wait
for the three of us to go camel shopping. It's going to be awesome experience.
Well, I've never been to a camel race.
Me either.
I'd like to sort of witness that firsthand, so we might be able to.
Have you ever ridden a camel?
No.
Hmm.
Not on the bucket list.
Okay.
Have you?
I have, once, on the beach.
How'd you go?
In Perth. It's not that comfy, but it's an experience, I guess.
So in
Tick
Perth?
The box. In Perth, yeah.
Right. Was it a...
On the sand.
For a promotion?
Nah, it was just a camel with the family ride. Bit of a trail ride. There was about 10 camels.
Yep.
Off we went. Ticked the box, said I've done it.
Yep.
Yeah, wasn't that comfy.
Would you invest in a camel?
To ride? No.
To race?
Well, I'm only just into a horse, so give me a bit of time. But if it's something we're going to do together, then I'll have a crack, yeah. I'd like to start in Australia, though, with a little
$3,000. I don't want to be spending a lot of money on a camel first up. But I'm prepared to
somewhere. I reckon we're going to do it. We're going to go properly.
Oh,
go hard early.
$5 million versus $3,000.
The only bloke that's got that is you.
Oh, man, you're kidding yourself. I'm happy. Let's go $3,000. Let's win a race in Australia.
No, I want the $31 million in Saudi Arabia. Anyway, give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Can't get a hold of Stewie, but that's all right. We've got heroes and villains, so give us a call. A $100 gift card up for grabs in a case of the Saint and Sinner Alcoholic Kombucha. I'll give you this one, though, pup.
Stewie's busy with softball CEOing.
Yeah, he is. And unfortunately, by the way, our men's baseball team...
Got done.
They got done, but in a very close one. 4-3 against Cuba.
Yeah, good effort.
They were beaten late last week. Lots of text there, Loz. Any answers?
Well, I'm just trying to read them. I can't read a few of them. morning, boys. There's a couple of camels in a paddock out here at Cowra.
What's that?
Most of the camels that race overseas are actually from Australia.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Our camel population's enormous.
Yeah, but I don't care about the population. I care about the quality.
Quality. You know, can you read these? Because...
Yeah.
I don't think I can read.
Yeah, no, I think we better check these out. Here you go, pup.
Yes, tell me.
Ahead of the Ashes.
Yes.
Ollie Robinson said on BBC Radio.
Ollie Robinson, fast bowler from England.
From England. Who's, I'll tell you what, though. When he was here in Australia, he's lost a lot of weight.
Since then?
Yep. He's really slimmed down.
Okay, that's good.
Compared to when we saw him here in the Ashes. And I'm not saying he was overweight or anything like that. He's just certainly done a lot of work on his body.
Fitness.
Anyway, he's come out with this one. This is his direct quote. This is obviously post the Bazball era, since we saw them here for the Ashes last. But with the team and the squad we've got at the moment, it's such an exciting time to play Australia at home. I really feel like we could get one over them, over on them, and give them a good hiding.
Mm, like it.
Give them a good hiding.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't mind that. I don't mind a bit of a little stab in the ribs before we get there. Oh, England should be confident the way they're playing. No matter who they play at the moment in their own backyard, with Anderson and Broad still bowling well, they should be confident. But I can guarantee you this Australian team will be a lot better prepared than what we were for that recent trip to India. And I think we are more suited to playing in England conditions than we are in India, particularly with our quicks. A lot of our batters have played over there as well. You look at Travis Head's played domestic cricket over there, Steve Smith, Manus Labuschagne, Usman Khawaja. So we've had a lot more experience over there as well. So, yep, we'll find out in a couple of months, that's for sure.
Thanks for all your text messages. I just can't read a lot of them.
What about
honestly,
this one,
the text board has just gone off. How about stuff this about camels.
Let's go. We'll take Clarkie's yacht over there. We'll look like a kayak in the Saudi marina, says Alex and Wagga.
Very true. There's some monsters over there. Lots of money in that part of the world.
I back camels every week. Just ask my bank manager. What's the prime racing age of a camel?
Lots of questions to be answered. Yeah. We've got Todd on the line. G'day, Todd. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. Sorry about your team overnight.
No, mate. No, that's all right. I'll get to that in a minute. camel racing. How you guys are hilarious, honestly. I agree with Blodger, though. If they put camel racing on the menu for us punters, I'd have a bet on it.
For sure.
I think most people would.
For sure.
I think we would, wouldn't you? I'd definitely have to have an interest in it. I'd have to. I couldn't just sit there and watch a camel race without having an interest. What do you reckon, Middo?
Oh,
Middo will bet on anything.
100%.
Mate, don't ask him.
He
bet on a fish.
Hey, might have done that.
Yeah.
Not in Australia. Yeah. sorry, Todd.
Oh, dear.
I've been known at 3 o'clock in the morning to have a bet on the Monty racing from Germany before. So.
I think we've all done
so
that.
So, heroes and villains, guys.
Go for it.
Heroes. Well, look, how can you go past Animo? I mean, honestly, for that horse to go 3 wide the entire race and then go 6 wide around the corner and still have the temerity to get up and win against that field, and that field was very, very good. Man, I've got to put him up there with, you know, Sunline, Light and Power, Winks. You know, the horse has won 9 Group 1s now. He's got to be called a champion, in my view. So definitely give all the credit to Animo for Saturday.
Outstanding win. And you've got to give credit to the ride as well from J-Mac. I think Ron Duffy said it perfectly yesterday on Thoroughbred Weekly. If he went back, he wouldn't have won that race. He had to sit where he sat, but steal the horse, and presented him at the right time, didn't use the petrol until late, and it was just perfect. And what a horse, yep. 9 Group 1s. Good call out, Todd.
Well, then some punters were, I'm not going to mention any names, but some expert racing analysts on Sunday morning yesterday said the run of the day was due by honour. I almost choked on my bacon. Got to give the run of the day to Animo, 100%. just before I get into the villain, after I hang up, Laurie, I'd love you to give your opinions on the Dolphins, mate. They're absolutely flying. Fins up for everyone. And looking forward to that Broncos game on Friday night, mate.
Yeah, I think everyone is, Todd. They're going enormous, the Broncos. The Dolphins. Given at the start of the year, we expected them, to win probably maybe 5 games max? And to win the opening 3 games, I don't think too many people had them winning their opening 3 games and playing the Broncos in a massive clash up there where both teams are undefeated to start the season.
And how good the Central Coast Bears would be, boys.
Bring them
back. So, Billen this week. And look, in all honesty, when a team wins, right, any team wins 4 times straight, right, the correct thing for the opposition to do, right, is congratulate the winners. and say, well played, you beat us again. Excellent, you know? I've got no credit whatsoever for winning the Board of Gavaskar four times in a row. And I feel like the Australian public really need to be good sportsmen as they were in the 80s and 90s. That's my opinion. Thanks, guys.
No, good on you, Todd. Appreciate the call, mate.
Loving all the text messages on the camel suggestions here and how we're going to go about it. There's camel races at Gosford, by the way. Apparently the fastest camel goes 65 kilometres an hour. There's camel races at Boolia, says Mitch from Robertson, where it's $45,000 up for grabs. Only a few days' drive from Sydney. I've just had a look where Boolia is. It's over near the Northern Territory border, south of Mount Isa. I mean, it's a long, long way
away. How do you tow your camel?
Coming up is Ali Mosley from Sky Racing. Ali, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Well, just on that, I'm pretty sure a camel would not fit in my horse load.
I agree, Ali.
I don't know where they would...
Have you ever seen camel racing before, Ali, or not?
Not in the flesh, no.
No. But you've seen it on TV or something.
Yeah, I've seen it on TV. I'm not adverse to seeing it, though. I think it'd be quite fun.
Well, we got a text message this morning saying there's a race in Saudi Arabia worth $31 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we also found out you can buy a camel for $5 million.
Yes.
Oh, this is all too much.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. That's,
we
that's
thought
out
we'd pick
league.
One up for about $3,000 and ship him over and put him in the race.
Thanks, mate.
We just worked out we can't do that.
Far out.
Try to control these two.
I want to know how you travel. I want to know how you tow your camel. That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I got no
idea.
That's
not a truck, surely.
Yeah, you'd have
a big truck too, because they're so tall.
So now we need a truck.
Well, then we'd have to get a plane. This is getting expensive.
Shinzo, how much is Shinzo worth now, Ali?
A lot of money. It'll be wrapped in cotton wool now, I'm sure. But they certainly did the right thing there, didn't they? They had it all organised, all in hand. I think I certainly questioned whether, you know, bringing Ryan Moore was the right idea or the wrong idea. I think sometimes it can be a little bit of a little bit overkill probably, when I think we've got great jockeys here too, but it obviously paid off, and all credit to them and Chris Waller for training his first Golden Slipper winner.
Yeah, a fantastic effort. I'll tell you what, Enemo again did it tough, but again just proved what a superstar he is.
He did, and I've seen, you know, what social media is like. I love watching social media on Monday morning and everyone, you know, being post-race critics. It's my favourite thing. But, you know, I know a lot of people said whether Animo will beat Dubai Honor now, as they both head towards the Queen Elizabeth, and that will be, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a showdown, and I think Animo will step up to the task. I think Dubai Honor was obviously very impressive, and these European weight for age horses have a lot on ours, but that's not to suggest that he's better than Animo. I think he was against a much weaker class, so... I'm very, very excited to see the clash between the two. And I think James has right from where he'd drawn on Animo, re-watching it, you know, it was sort of all that he could do on it anyway. And I think he gave him a great ride, and it just proves how versatile of a galloper he is. He does everything he needs to, but just enough, and he knows where the line is. So I'm just excited to see them clash in, 3 weeks' time, I think?
Yeah. And, Ali, I'm sure you found a way to celebrate with the Hayes camp after Mr. Brightside won the All-Star Mile at Moonee Valley.
We did. We actually went to dinner at Nino's, which apparently is a bit of a... I'd never been there before, but it's apparently where Bart Cummings and CS used to go after they'd won big races up here. So it was a bit of a momentous occasion, albeit it's not a Group 1. It was still very exciting, and they're really good mates of mine. So it was really, really exciting to have them here, obviously. After the slipper... And Little Bros and Arkansas Kid had probably run a little bit further back than they had hoped or thought. So to then see them and everything they'd been through in the last 18 months sort of rebuilding after David left, it was such a thrill. And I did not think Mr. Brightside would win at all. So really exciting for them.
It was also good to see Tyler Schilly get his first Group 1.
Oh, so proud. And it shows you the camaraderie as well when all the, you know, he crossed the line and all the boys were congratulating him. I know Reese was one of the first to run out and give him a big hug. And I think it just shows that while they're all really competitive here in Sydney, and I think we've got the best jockey room in the world, And we've obviously got great young riders coming through, the likes of Tyler and Reece Jones and Tom Sherry. But I just think it shows how much they really genuinely care for each other, and so proud of him. He really deserves it. I think he's second on the premiership ladder at the moment behind James. So giving it a bit of a shake-up, who knows?
Who are you following out of the meeting? Heading towards, of course, not far away from the championships.
Yeah, very exciting. So I'm going to follow Levante. I thought it was just outstanding in defeat in the George Ryder. She covered about a metre less during the running than Animo, yet her times were comparable to the champ. So I'm going to call him a champ. I know everyone keeps bandying around the world champ and whether we should or shouldn't be allowed to, but I'm calling him one, so I'll roll with it. She was one of only two horses on the day to break 33 seconds for their final 600. The other, how's this, being Key Largo in the Group 1 Galaxy. Just going to be really hard to beat, I think, in the Queen of the Turf Stakes on April 8th. So that is inside the second week of the champs this year, I think. I'll also follow Dashing Legend, who I think was a forgive run in the Derby in Munro. They just went way too fast early in the race that was set up for backmackers, and she chased the hot speed. And it just didn't set up for those on pace. And then I think out of that, Natuno deserves a mention because she stuck on well. And in the slipper, we have to follow King's Gambit. He was so game in defeat. He covered so much territory. I know how confident the Snowdens were going into the race with him. I'm not sure if he'll press on for the sires now, but that performance should suggest that there would be a roll at the dice for it. And then hopefully we can see him settle because, you didn't by any means have to be a mounting yard analyst to realise, you know, he was falling apart in the yard. He was an absolute lather. And then when he got behind the barriers, he just, got worse. So if he can settle, maybe he needs that cooler day just to keep his temperature down. And it was particularly hot there on Saturday, so a lot of the horses just weren't handling it. So if he can handle it and they press on, I think he'll be mighty hard to beat in the sires.
Thank you, Ali.
Thanks, guys. Good luck with the camel racing.